Are you feeling okay?
What?
You obviously just went someplace else while you were sitting here. It was like one moment you were in your seat and the next you were a million miles away.
Obviously I'm not if I'm sitting here with you.
Physically? But there's more to life than just the physical. I mean, not that the physical isn't important, but you...
I got it. I know what you mean.
You want to tell me what's bothering you so much? You've been distracted all day long.
What's a Dorje?
It is another word for Vajra. Why? Where did you hear that?
I met someone who mentioned it.
Oh? Who's this someone? Anyone I know?
I don't know if you know him, but he seemed to know all about you.
Really?
Okay. I was asleep in my room last night. Someone broke in. Well, that's maybe the wrong word. They didn't break in so much as one moment they weren't there, and the next they were. It was really weird.
Go on.
I don't think it was the first time, either. The other night I was in the tub, and I could have sworn someone had come in while I was in there.
Okay.
But last night, I tried to fight them off. I thought there was only one, but there were two. And when I made my move, I got sucker punched. Before I knew what had happened, I was pinned down and totally at their mercy.
You could have been badly injured or killed. I'm glad you're all right.
Yeah. While one of the goons held me down with some sort of arm lock, the other one searched my room.
And what were they looking for?
Your Vajra, apparently.
And that's where you heard the word Dorje.
The one holding me down demanded I give it to him.
But you don't have it. Hell, I don't have it.
They seem convinced that I already had it in my possession.
What would make them think that?
Faulty intelligence. Maybe someone leaked word to them. I don't know.
Ken frowned and turned around. Anya felt there might be a few things he was keeping from her. Whether or not that was for her own good, Anya felt certain they would come out soon enough, whether Ken wanted them to or not.
It's possible. I'd be a fool to think otherwise. But like we discussed last night, there are bound to be other interested parties in the hunt. They all know the rumors of what the Vajra can supposedly do.
I don't like the idea that others are out there looking for this Vajra. These did not seem like very nice people.
You're not worried about the danger, Anya. You relish it. It's one reason I hired you.
You've hired me? I don't recall ever seeing a contract or even hearing a verbal agreement.
So, I'm doing it now. You help me find this Vajra, and you can name your price, okay?
They ordered me to tell them when we find it.
The people who broke into your room last night?
Yes.
I see. And what did you tell them?
I agreed to do it.
Good. Very good.
Good? You're not upset?
Are you kidding? What are you supposed to do when someone's got you pinned down and they are threatening to kill you? No, you did the only thing you could do.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Of course I do. Did they give you some sort of ultimatum?
They said they'd find me and kill me if I tried to betray them.
Standard ultimatum 101. Good.
You keep saying that. I fail to see how this is all so good. My stomach's been in knots ever since. I thought you'd hate me for it.
Well, let's look at it this way. We know there is at least one other party committed to recovering the Vajra. They're definitely a threat. But they are only a threat at the very end of the hunt, when you're supposed to contact them and turn the Vajra over to them. That gives us a lot of leverage and advantage.
How so?
First of all, if they're watching us, they will be one more set of eyes watching out for us. If there are other parties looking, they may find themselves having to deal with these people you spoke to last night.
Good point.
Also, by knowing that they expect you to contact them at the end of the hunt, we can plan our strategy accordingly. We have the pleasure of choosing the exact spot and time for the showdown. You can't ask for anything better.
Unless, of course, they jump us as soon as we have the Vajra instead of waiting for me to contact them.
It's a measured risk. Did they tell you how to get in touch with them?
Actually, no.
So that probably means they'll have eyes on us the entire time. Maybe even right now.
Oh, great.
Don't worry about it. I know plenty of ways to lose them if we want to.
But we don't want to, do we?
I think we're better off knowing they're behind us. It's always nice knowing we've got our six covered.
Even by enemies?
Even by enemies.
So who do you think they are? These people, I mean.
I have no idea.
Look, Ken, I can't shake the feeling that you're holding something back from me. If you want my help, fine. But we've got to be honest with each other, or this is never going to work.
You want to know about the Yakuza connection. I guess I don't blame you.
Well, that attack our first night together didn't seem random.
I sought the assistance of the Yakuza when I started my search.
You? Why?
The Yakuza have a great deal of leverage within my country. The history gives them something of an almost Robin Hood status. As such, they can get things done that are otherwise difficult within the constraints of Japanese society.
But something like this?
I needed permission to search on certain lands. I needed a lot of bureaucratic signatures and notes. I had plenty of money to grease hands with, but I had no idea whose hands I had to grease.
But for the Yakuza, that's easy knowledge.
Exactly. They know who and they know how to do it without raising a stink. So I paid them to pay off certain individuals. It seemed like an easy arrangement.
So what's the problem then?
I should have known better. The problem is they gradually began to piece together what it was I was doing and what I was looking for. And when they realized I was after the Vajra, they proposed a very different business arrangement than we had had initially.
They wanted to have it for themselves.
They heard the legends too. And they probably figured that it would be a good idea to try and acquire it for their own ends. Obviously, I wasn't comfortable with that idea, so I told them no. I was told I had to return it to them or they'd kill me.
What did you do?
The same thing you did last night, my dear. I said yes.
So why attack you the other night? If you agreed to their demands, it doesn't make sense for them to beat you up.
Maybe it was just their way of letting me know they were taking this seriously.
This trip is starting to remind me of every other hunt I've ever been on.
Yeah, but it's damn fun, isn't it?
It has the potential to be.
Anya, wake up.
Have we arrived?
Yes, and it looks a bit overcast outside. I'm hoping it's not too rainy. You did bring a jacket, right?
Anya sat up straight from where she'd been resting her head on the cushioned rest and wiped the sleep from her eyes.
You sleep utterly silently. Do you know that?
No. I assumed I snore like a congested heifer.
Whoever told you that was lying. Even when you reach the deepest part of sleep, you still are silent. That's quite a remarkable skill to have. Most people make some sort of noise, but not you.
Anya fished around in her bag and pulled out a black, knee-length nylon rain jacket. She slid it on.
Well, nice to know I can impress even when I'm unconscious. Wait. Everybody's already off the train?
Yes. I thought it might be prudent to let all the other passengers disembark first. This way, we can spot anyone who might perhaps be more than casually interested in us.
Only until we get out into the station itself, though. I assume there will be a lot more people milling around there. A surveillance team can position itself accordingly.
There will be places they can hide, but we can use crowds to our advantage.
Can we use them to find our way to a restaurant? I'm more than a little hungry.
Of course. I know a good one that lies within a few blocks of where we're headed anyway. Do you like tripe?
You're kidding, right?
Actually, yes. The restaurant serves great food. You'll love it.
Ken glanced out the closest windows and nodded.
I think now would be a good time for us to leave. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves trapped here and on the way back to Tokyo. Let's go.
Anya watched the way he shifted himself as he adjusted his coat, but in actuality used the movement to scan the platform. After a moment, he looked back at Anya and nodded.
Seems to be okay.
Ooh. It is a bit chilly, isn't it?
Ken hefted his carry-all over one shoulder and led Anya down the platform.
Do you know Osaka was going to be one of the cities that the Americans dropped the atomic bomb on? It was only at the last moment that the decision was made to spare the city because of the enormous civilian and cultural damage that would have resulted. Your generals knew that by targeting a city like this, it would have galvanized the Japanese even more, resulting in greater American casualties.
Anya wasn't sure if she felt comfortable discussing the war.
I suppose that makes it all the easier to appreciate the city itself.
Indeed. For those who live here, it was certainly a blessing. Granted, Osaka is more industrialized now than during the war, but it still has a great deal of beauty to it. You just have to know where to look for it.
They reached the escalator going up toward the main concourse. Giant video displays and bright billboards displaying soft drinks and strange-looking snack foods surrounded them. Ken seemed strangely tense.
You expecting trouble?
Yes, I am.
Anya's stomach hurt immediately after he said that. She frowned. If trouble was imminent, she could probably bring the sword into play and quickly be done with anyone who wanted to cause them harm.
I really don't think that would be the wisest decision at this point.
What?
Whatever you're planning, I would suggest not doing it. It might cause us more trouble than it would save.
Anya frowned. She didn't like how he responded to her very thoughts. It somehow felt like an invasion of privacy.
If you're wondering, the answer is no. I can't read your thoughts. I can feel the subtle changes in the energy you put out, though. You broadcast your intention, and I pick that up. I can only guess at what it refers to specifically, but sometimes I come very close. I know there are aspects about you that you wish to keep concealed. I understand that desire. I respect it. But if you have something that might aid us, I'd only ask you to consider what its appearance might do for our situation. Will it really help or hurt our progress?
Anya nodded. He was right. If she drew the sword in a crowded place like the train station, there'd be hundreds of witnesses. She and Ken would get hauled into the local police station for hours upon hours of questioning. When it was all done, they would have lost precious time that could have been better spent searching for the Vajra. The sword would stay where it was if anyone threatened. Ken turned and kept walking. Anya caught up with him. Ahead of them, the concourse throbbed with people. Anya scanned the crowd, but could pick out no one who seemed particularly dangerous.
How in the world do you sense the presence of danger in a place like this?
You wing it.
You're not serious about winging it, are you?
It's tough to pinpoint anything in such a group. Probably the best way to avoid danger in this location is to simply avoid walking through it in the first place. By simply not being here, you avoid the danger.
We don't really have a choice, though.
And that's what makes this so problematic. Here's the exit. Follow me. Once we clear the building, we'll be better off. If someone does choose this time to attack, we'll at least have a better environment to handle them.
They managed to push through the final 100 feet without incident. Anya spotted a gaggle of schoolgirls loitering near the entrance, all glued to video iPods and cell phones. Outside, the overcast skies enveloped them in a moist mist that didn't fall as much as simply float in the air. Anya was glad she'd brought her raincoat. Ken zipped his jacket.
Are we clear?
Oh, not by a long shot.
But we left the station. No one tried to attack us.
Would it make sense for an attacker to go after us in the train station?
So what you're saying is we're still in danger.
As long as we're after the Vajra, we'll be in danger.
Swell.
Anya looked behind them. Roughly a dozen schoolgirls came sidling through the portal, all of them giggling and sashaying about on the concrete walkway.
We should go now.
Anya's stomach hurt again suddenly.
Can you run?
Why?
Watch out!
What the...
Anya glanced back and saw the flock of schoolgirls running towards them, brandishing a variety of lethal-looking weapons.
Oh my God!
Come on!
Ken yanked her arm, and Anya let herself be pulled along down the main street as the schoolgirls chased behind them. Ken went flying past a bewildered police officer. Anya looked behind her in time to see the cop put up his hand to stop the schoolgirls, only to have it hacked off by one of the girls who wielded a sword. The cop spun and went down, his arm spraying crimson onto the street.
They just killed that guy!
They'll kill us too, if we're not careful.
Ken ducked down a side alley and Anya followed. Trash lined the slick ground. They skidded to a stop. The alley ended in a concrete wall that ran 20 feet high.
So much for that option.
The schoolgirls skidded to a stop in front of the alley. They saw Ken and Anya, the dead end they'd boxed themselves in, and smirked collectively.
I guess we make our stand here. Here. This half is yours.
A plank of wood?
Better than nothing.
But they're just kids.
They're killers. Give them no quarter because they'll show you no mercy either.
Anya hefted the wood in her hands. Compared to the swords, chains, and assorted other blades she saw the girls handling 50 feet away, the wooden staff seemed woefully inadequate against their arsenal.
What the...
What?
Anya pointed behind the schoolgirls. From behind them, it looked as if a gray mist was coming for them, billowing into the alley. The mist enveloped them. Anya could see flailing limbs from within the cloud of mist. Several long seconds after the beating stopped, the mist began to fade. Anya could see the sprawled bodies of the schoolgirls on the ground. Their weapons were nowhere to be seen.
What the hell just happened?
Come on!
They ran past the schoolgirls. Anya couldn't tell if they were dead or just unconscious. At the mouth of the alley, they stopped. Ken pointed.
Look!
Down the street, they saw the robed figure of an elderly monk leaning on a staff with rings atop it. The monk stopped, turned, and bowed low. Ken returned the bow.
Who was that?
I don't know, but he just saved our lives.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.